This is Mae Brussel. This is the second half of World Watchers, program number 785, December the 22nd, 1986. I don't expect you to remember the names or the categories that I'm citing to you. Some I've already shared with you on the air, and I'm putting them in the context of where I think they belong at the present time, and others I'll develop at great length with you and give you the specific articles and so forth. I'm taking material from the newspapers that I take daily, and then there are friends from around the country that sent me articles from Oregon, from Houston, from in these times, Nation, The Guardian, and information on Central America, the Western Hemisphere. So as I am cutting the articles pertaining to Reagan-gate, I'm putting them into the notebooks I described, maybe one up to six, and each one having its separate 48 sections if I want to use that many. But you can see they get pretty heavy. Then turning them into files and separating the material so if I want to get access to it to compare or to connect, I can. And I spread these materials out all over a large king-size bed and two tables once a week and then accumulate those subjects that relate to each other, like, say, articles on George Bush. There are opinions of Bush, there are speeches of Bush, there's pleadings with Admiral Poindexter and Colonel North to speak. Then there are links of George Bush to Central America that I'll go into, and there's links to George Bush to the Iran story. So I have Bush under three categories, the general news media articles about and so forth, then the direct connections to the other two areas, which are separate from the first one, so that I can get access to those instead of going through a whole pile of articles and looking for a particular item. Now, book two is on other conspiracy connections or international links. Many of them I've had on the air over the past years, and now the names of particular persons and operations connect to the Reagan Gate as it is being exposed. It's one thing to see it as a separate entity in a newspaper and share a single article with you, and I always try to make connections to a lot of other eras and years and people that these articles relate to. But the second book I have is on some of these connections that are coming together at this time. And as I say, the first one is on the planners and winners, who gains and who loses, and Fritz Kramer, Daniel Graham, Fred Ickley, Henry Kissinger, Alexander Haig, Michael Ledeen, and their team, Richard Pearl, John Lehman, Edward Teller, seem to be the ones on top while everything else falls apart. They're the ones that gain the most and could be behind this with agent provocateurs doing the things that remove Ronald Reagan and George Bush, identical to Watergate where Nixon and Agnew were removed. And again, Kissinger and Haig came out smelling like a rose. Now, book two has, let me see how many connections there are for you here. there's so many, we'll just go on to them. I have 12 major connections, but we'll do those as, and then a 13th, which is much larger. It's a whole book by itself. Okay, the first one is the Nazi Odessa connections to the Reagan Gate. This has to do with Albert Hakim and General Secord and Stanford Technology with its offices in Palo Alto and also in Virginia. The second part under that is Stanford Technology and TCI, the corporation that was formed when Otto von Bolschwing was the head of it and Helene von Daum was the translator. Then the third part under that is Helene von Daum and her relationship to Ronald Reagan as secretary for 8 years, as appointment secretary in the White House for two administrations, and a relationship to Albert Hakim and his organizations overseas. That just came out in a very good article. It was printed in the West Coast this past week. Then the relationship of Donald Reagan, chief of staff, to Credit Suisse, the bank used by Stanford Technology, and the connections of Merrill Lynch to Credit Suisse and Reagan-gate, and what are the common denominators? I know these are large banks, but what are the common denominators? If von Bolschwing was the head of the Galen operation when Reinhard Galen went back to Europe, and Galen was the chief intelligence for the Eastern Division of Adolf Hitler, who formed our National Security Council and CIA, then the Hakim connections are working well with General Secord, with Mr. Adnan Khashoggi and the Saudi Arabian Mossad, United States Defense Department triangle is exactly what von Bolschwing wanted and set up. And then the Credit connections, Credit Suisse to Permandex, the operation for killing heads of states, removing them, and having military coups, because that's what the 40 Committee is in the National Security Council. And this is what these people do well. They want to overthrow Mr. Ortega in Nicaragua. They killed Maurice Bishop in Grenada. And the story of killing heads of states and having coups, such as Mr. Carlucci helping Vernon Walters have the coup in Brazil in 1964, right after John Kennedy was killed. The money for Permandex, the main bank, there were three or four banks, but Credit Suisse was very much a part of that. And so under these Odessa connections with Hakim Secord, Saudi Arabia, Stanford Technology, articles are coming out mentioning von Bolschwing and von Dahm, and also Credit Suisse under the Money Tree connections, and Donald Reagan's connections with Credit Suisse and Merrill Lynch, and Credit Suisse with Permandex, and also the Merrill Lynch connections to San Paulo, Brazil, to Joseph Mengele and Klaus Barbie, because those, in return, their drug connections and money connections and deposits in the Boston Bank, in E.F. Hutton, where George Bush's brother-in-law is president, Mr. Pierce of E.F. Hutton, and the head of Merrill Lynch, where the drug money was coming in, is now chief of staff in the White House. I call those the Nazi Odessa connections because they go all the way from the SS with Otto von Bolschwing out to TCI, to Stanford Technology, to Hewlett-Packard, to von Dahm, who's in Vienna, and Hakim using von Dahm's, she is setting up or using his networks, and there's a very nice circle around the globe if you follow them long enough. The next section under that are the George Bush connections that I briefly mentioned before, when Mr. Hassenfoss went down and his mentioning Mr. Gomez Rodriguez and the links to National Security Council, to George Bush's top aide, the murder of Che Guevara, the Bolivia police, the Klaus Barbie, Licio Gelli, Ronald Reagan, GOP, drug, Nazi connections. Now, parts of these I've had on the air for years, but when you get George Bush and the scandals of the National Security Council with Mr. Rodriguez acting in Bolivia and in El Salvador and training the Contras now, there is a very tight circle here of those would also be part of the Odessa connections. I call them the George Bush connections. Then the Bush-Contragate connections besides that go into the Letelier murder, the Air Cuba, the connections to General Secord, to Rafael Quintero, Theodore Shackley, Posada Carriles, who was took credit or was charged with blowing up Air Cuba, George Bush's murderous activities when he was CIA director in 1976 and the continuation of them now, and the formation of these people at the time of the Bay of Pigs. They went on to become partner of the Defense Department and the National Security in the killing of John Kennedy, and then on to Vietnam and Laos. And now you see them working both in Iran, in the Iran Gate story, and in Central America, and the funds tangled and meshed. The banking connections overlap, the agents overlap, the role in the Bay of Pigs and the murder of John Kennedy. The common denominator would be, I'll give you some names in regards to one particular person later, but there's a lot of overlapping, but it has to do with current news now, putting it together with the past articles. And then there's the George Bush arms for Iran. He's been called in as a witness, the late Cyrus Hashemi. He was murdered in London in July, and he was a primary witness in that particular case. But again, that has to do with Saudi Arabia, Adnan Khashoggi, whose particular attorney, Mr. Evans, was arrested with Girl Eisenberg. And I've done a little bit on that operation. And the attorney, Jonathan Marks, who works for Girl Eisenberg, is also the attorney for Mark David Chapman. And Bush links to the Gomez Rodriguez International Fascist Bolivia Guevara murder Barbie triangle and Jelly, who was at Ronald Reagan and Bush's inauguration party, the first one in 1980, and they were down in Dallas for the re-election campaign in 1984, the top Bolivian cocaine dealers waiting to return to Bolivia. Bush linked to Contragate, the Central America death squads, going to the Bay of Pigs and through the Kennedy assassination into Laos, where they go on to be drug dealers. That's a separate section. This is just on Bush's connections. And then Bush with the arms for Iran, Hashemi, Khashoggi, and Eisenberg, and so forth, and American General, three officials of the Mossad, and so forth. So Bush is directly linked into these three very important areas. The next section I have, which is quite large, is called Shadowy Network for arms transfers. And one has to do with what are called ex-CIA men and ex-defense people still working through the existing agencies. Some of them come up in the lawsuit of the Christic Institute. Some of them come out in return in exchange for information on Hasanfas and El Salvador and Honduras. And a lot of articles and a lot of good writers are coming through with material they've had also and putting together this private network of people. It showed up, for an example, in the time of Watergate, where these ex-CIA people like E. Howard Hunt and James McCord and Frank Sturgis and so forth were still CIA and still are today for all purposes, and they gave them an ex and gave one an office in the White House for emergency planning, and the other was chief of security for Langley, Virginia at the time, James McCord. So all the exes you can erase as just a big nothing. And what they call the exes, like Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins and John Singlaub, are still working part and parcel with what the White House wants. And all the White House has to say to Mr. North, Colonel North, is, I want this. Then he has the connections to all these people below who spread out like one huge cancer. It starts with one cell and adds another, which is two. Then he could go to John Singlaub and Western Goals, and then it spreads like wildfire. So that's the private network of ex-CIA and defense. The next is the connection of this network specifically from the Bay of Pig to the John Kennedy assassinations, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King assassinations, and then on to Southeast Asia and Vietnam and Laos. That connection is the Bay of Pigs to the murder of John Kennedy, the role that these people had and who they worked with. And the next is the drug connections. And, of course, this is big. It goes from Laos and Southeast Asia. Not that drugs began there, but that's when these people began to get the money for the guns and exchange guns and drugs and escalate these private armies for the Rangers, the SEALs, and the very people that can overthrow countries quietly without the press being there, such as Grenada, and then use these countries for drug traffic. Also, the islands of the Caribbean. In fact, there was talk after Jonestown of using the property for the Laotian tribesmen that it brought here from Southeast Asia, the ones that were growing the heroin there. So there's the drug connections of this team in Laos with Air America and the airlines that were used for drug traffic, the Newton Hand Bank with the admirals and generals, and there's a Bernie Houghton from Newton Hand who went directly to Saudi Arabia. And the question mark is the role of him with Mr. Khashoggi. And John Singlaub and Michael Ledeen and Major General Secord and George Bush and Robert Owen and Thomas Kleins, Edwin Wilson, and so forth. The drug connections, the drug dealers and their operations, and separately from that, but to go into the drug file also, are the people, these same people doing drug dealing in Costa Rica using the former location of Robert Vesco, who's floating around the Caribbean with Frank Turpel, who connects directly to these people, and Vesco, of course, to William Casey, former partner with William Casey, our CIA director. The drug story is, you could do a lifetime on that to the Reagan Gate, but it has its own section. The next section is the CIA versus Nicaragua. This has to do with the escalation of arms, the overthrow of Nicaragua, the decision in March 83 in the offices of the Defense Department, the National Security of people like Fred Eakley, and how the overthrow is done. I've done part of those connections of the secret team on World Watchers. I just want to show that that's only one section of this larger group. The next is a file or a partition, which I keep in book two, on the Contra organizations. Now, I have in my files, I have 46, I think it's 46, four-drawer filing cabinets, 26 inches deep. That's a lot of files. And I have material on all of these people separately. What I'm putting in these books that I haven't joined to the other files is the new information that's coming out just in since October, November, December of 1986. What I'm citing to you now are new articles, and then to back them up, I have file drawers on organizations of Singlaub and these front organizations, and one full top drawer of the Grenada invasion and these operatives and how they worked in Grenada, one on Wilson and Turpel, two on Wilson and Turpel and Secord and Singlaub. But right now, what I'm citing to you are sections of just the current news, and one is the material coming out about the Contra organizations, their locations in Washington, in Virginia and Miami and Dallas and Costa Rica, Honduras and El Salvador, where their pockets are and how the weapons are delivered to them and how the U.S. military delivers them, these humanitarian things, and delivers the planes, and then the Contras, the recipients of this, don't have to buy weapons. They don't have to buy food or clothing or medical supplies. They take the humanitarian, which means they're living cost-free plus some extra salaries, and then the money they would spend for the necessities of survival go to the weapons, so it's a fair trade. The next section is on a judicial information or investigations that tried to show that the CIA was acting illegally in Nicaragua. Specifically, in 1983, there was a request by Mr. Dullums, a lawsuit that was filed and turned down. It had to do with military expeditions and involved Ronald Reagan, rather than Alexander Haig and Caspar Weinberger, acting against the Neutrality Act. That was turned down. The next section is on the Egyptian coup, how these people murdered Anwar Sadat in 1981. And this has to do with General Secord, whose name shows up again in the Reagan Gate, Erich von Marhod, Thomas Kleins. Secord and Kleins are defendants in the Christic Institute. Their charges against his secret team. The Reagan Gate agents that worked with George Bush at Mubarak, had lunch with him. And I had a lot of broadcasts on that 2 days before he went home and Sadat was murdered. EATSCO, EATSCO, a corporation in Delaware with arms shipments and dummy fronts that was supposed to go to Egypt, but a good hunk of it went on to the PLO and on to Iran, and weapons and money were siphoned from what appeared like legitimate defense contracts, again sending weapons into Iran and through these organizations and front groups. And so the Egyptian coup in 1981 is directly related to the same people involved with the Reagan Gate this time. Then I have a section on the Northrop connections. This has to do with John Lehman and Adnan Khashoggi and Cyrus Hashimi and the contracts and the relationship of Northrop. Northrop comes out at the time of Watergate scandals and payoffs to Richard Nixon and his administration to get him reelected. And the Northrop connections come out in quite a few articles. So whenever I see an article, it may be on something altogether different, but mentions Northrop as a conduit for this spy money or arming Iran or so forth, I just photocopy it and put under Northrop, because there's a lot more to that particular organization. Then a gentleman named Fred Magira passed away a few years ago, M-A-G-G-I-R-A. And I have one section on, not too much on him, but he happened to be a member of the Oakland City Council. He was for Law and Order, a conservative. And then these exposés came out of his relationship to Frank Sturgis, who goes back to Frank Fiorini and the Kennedy assassination, his relationship with guns for the Bay of Pigs, weapons, his contacts with Mitchell Werbel, the famous general from the OSS, who organized Otto Skorzeny's scheme of these small paramilitary guerrilla operations and had training centers his son still has for training and shooting these weapons schools and so forth. There were ties in just this particular person's life to the mafia, to these freedom fighters, to the special forces. And again, this Mr. Magira was close to a person and worked with a person who was a member of the U.S. Special Forces who murdered Che Guevara in Bolivia in 1967. And he helped with persons set up factories in Guatemala to support the Guatemalan police to manufacture silences and so forth. So I throw one section in. Section 9 of Book 2 is just titled JFK, Watergate, Bay of Pigs, the late Frank Magira. And in there we make, again, the Che connections, which go to Mr. Rodriguez, George Bush's contacts, our CIA contacts, and it makes a full circle from the CIA and the Defense Department to the murder of John Kennedy, to the special forces, to Guatemala police states, to the national security, and so forth. And he fits right into this picture. David Emery sent me the material on him a couple of years ago, but now it's very pertinent because those persons involved with killing Che Guevara are active and organizers in the Contragate story and acting out of El Salvador to train the Contras, and have a history of helping fascist dictatorships and terrorism in Central and South America particularly. So I have just one section on Frank Magira. The next section is on Colonel Oliver North, sending the weapons to Iran via Stanford Technology, working with Mr. Hakim. And, of course, North is connected to the congregate and the weapons and the money that he promised them they would have in 1984. He says, I promised them as if he runs the country. Colonel North wasn't elected, and his justification is, I made a promise. But all he has to do is to keep up what the president wants, which is to overthrow Ortega. And once that promise is made, he can pass it on. So under North, I have about nine sections, eight or nine sections, and I'll be adding to them all the time. But the first one is his relationship with General Secord in Saudi Arabia. Secord's sending the AWACS to Saudi Arabia, and their work with Nestor Sanchez and Noel Koch of the Defense Department. The other is the relationship of North to the Albert Hakim suit in 1979, a money-skimming arms suit, the relationship of North to Hakim. The next is North to Adnan Khashoggi and Manager Ghorbanifar and Al Schwimmer and NSC's Charles Tyson. He worked for the National Security Council and went on then to work for Khashoggi. So there isn't any difference between literally the Saudi Arabian, I guess you'd call it, their weapons manufacturers or dealers, and the Mossad and the National Security Council. So articles that refer to Ghorbanifar and Khashoggi, Schwimmer, and Tyson, I keep in one special section. Then articles linking Roy Furmark, that gentleman who I cross-filed him in several places, to North and the desires of Ronald Reagan to arm the Contras and so forth, and the links of that Canadian scandal to Donald Fraser and E. Miller and William Casey and the CIA, and then the links of them to the World Anti-Communist League and John Singlaub and Michael Ledeen. Then Secord, I have a section under his secret plane that he bought November the 12th, 1985, and decided to register it last week, and it goes up so high that there's no visibility from the ground. And these people have taken large amounts of money from the arms deals or from the drug traffic. We haven't found out yet where it all comes from or whether it's several billion, as we've heard. They're trying to minimize the amount, but they have their own airplanes, they have their own weapons, their own communication system, safe houses, and so forth, and they still connect to the National Security Council right up into the White House. That's why I call it Reagan Gate. And then the links of North to the Bank of Credit Suisse. There's several banks that he was in touch with, quite a few where he opened accounts and so forth, and the relationship of him to these banks. And then the Saudi Arabian Nugenhand CIA Defense Department. That was all churning around before he came to national security, but where he was before that, we don't have the details and dates. Now, the next large section is on Albert Hakim from Stanford Technology. I mentioned him before under the Odessa and the importance of Hakim with Helene Von Damm and Mr. Secord and Credit Suisse and Merrill Lynch. But under Hakim, I have another section regarding Stanford Technology, and that has to do with the Korean airline. And Section A has to do with the KAL and the United States State Department and arms to Iran, that the KAL has permission from our State Department, it's a section of that, to send arms to Iran, and this happened in 1983. The next has to do with the burglary of Hakim's papers regarding the Korean connections. The third section has to do with the papers being returned, minus the KAL-007 links. It had to do with some obscure plant that was being built for South Korea, and when the papers were returned, we got less information than we did while they were missing. And under that, I have a section on Seymour Hersh and the Korean airline, and Seymour Hersh and his work with the CIA in Chile as a person working in the intelligence system, how he covered up the KAL story. And then the next section is on John Singlaub and Edward Teller and Daniel Graham and the relationship to Western goals and why they would want Larry McDonald to disappear at that particular time, not survive the weapons that were gained by it, the silencing of McDonald's testimony, and the links of Oliver North to the KAL. I understand that he is the person that wrote the administration's response to KAL. I'm sure this was written by Buchanan, and I have a section on Ollie North and Thomas Buchanan. They work together hand in glove, and Buchanan seems to be the speech writer. You can recognize his style when all of these things happen, whether it's Chernobyl or KAL, and he comes in with, or the Libyan disinformation, he comes in with the same style, and he works very close with Oliver North, and I have one section on North and Buchanan. The next section is Hiris Hashimi, the Defense Department, his links to Mafia and arms to Iran, and this has to do with his involvement earlier, a few years ago, in anti-Iranian crimes that he confessed to. The second part of Hashimi in this section is his New York arrest and the trial of 18 defendants for sending arms to Iran. They were prosecuted on that, but they're appealing it now, saying that they were doing what the government was doing, and they were working with the same people the government is working with. And in that section, I have his work with Ghorbanifar, who was an agent of the Iranian SAVAK, and how they're trying to set up the SAVAK, just as in Nicaragua were setting up the Somoza army. The young 17, 18-year-olds were not part of Somoza, but their families were, and they want the same benefits of the dictatorship. And in Iran, Hashemi and our Defense Department are working with the SAVAK, specifically Ghorbanifar. Then Hashemi's work with Oliver North, and in conjunction with Mr. Oliver Revelle of the FBI. Revelle has taken himself off because of conflict of interest investigating these matters, because he was the head of an anti-terrorism team in conjunction with Oliver North, if you can believe how funny that was. And Oliver Revelle has been put aside. I have two categories for him. One is relationship to North and Hashemi and arms to Iran, and the other has to do with the FBI covering up investigations and Mr. Revelle's role in covering up some of these scandals. The next has to do with George Bush's links to the Mossad. It goes, Bush has his own section. Then if he works with Hashemi and he was a witness to the case, and they've asked him to appear, I put it under Hashemi as well as Bush because it pertains to both. If I just want to talk about George Bush or study him, I have the conjunction with the place where his name was mentioned. And then if I'm studying a particular area, I double cross file it. And there's plenty of that in this case. Then under here, I have the murder of Dr. Cyrus Hashemi. I mentioned him last week in July in London. And I have another whole section on witnesses that were murdered prior to us getting the story publicly, but were murdered for important reasons, such as Mr. Perry, and then people that have been murdered just in the past week or two, such as Mr. Carr in Los Angeles, a primary witness in this case for the Christic Institute suit. But under the Hashemi Defense Department FBI connections, I also throw the murder of witnesses in this section here because it's pertinent to this story. And then the CIA William Casey links to Mr. Khashoggi. One of the defendants in this case in New York is Mr. Evans, an attorney for Khashoggi, and Khashoggi is very much involved, again, with the Fermar Canadian story, and they overlap sometimes. Certain files I have to put under two or three sections. And then Paul Cutter, known as Paul Celosia, is important in this. He's one of the defendants in this case, and I think I've mentioned before that his attorney, who speaks for him all of the time, is a Mr. Carroll, Chris Carroll. And he also is the attorney for the very mysterious Carolyn Blazas, who has not been prosecuted. And it was on her parents' property that Leonard Lake had a bunker where approximately 5 to 38 people were murdered with body bags. And Charles Ng, N.G., is the only person arrested in this case as the torturer. Leonard Lake commits suicide. He ate a cyanide bullet and commit suicide. And Charles Ng's name came out as soon as these other stories broke about Hashemi. Not coincidentally, in the past few weeks, he's in Canada for shooting the hand of somebody who arrested him, not a major crime. He should be sent to the United States. Now, another large section having to do with arms to Iran and Hashemi has to do with the Justice Department, Stanley Pottinger, and Elliot Richardson, his attorneys, and it's listed under the shadowy connections of Hashemi to JINSA Foundation, J-I-N-S-A, and I'll be doing a lot of broadcasts on that. JINSA is a formation of an organization in Israel, allegedly Jewish-Israeli, but it has to do with Saudi Arabia, and it's a front organization for people such as John Layman and Reverend Moon and Barbara Ledeen and Michael Ledeen and Richard Pearl of the Defense Department. And Hashemi went to Israel for 2 months, became part of JINSA, and it has links to Abington Corporation, John Layman, and Northrop comes into this. Arnold Raborschkrieg is part of JINSA, and Rafi Eitan from the Mossad from Israel is part of JINSA, and he's the one who said all along he didn't believe that Joseph Mengele was dead. JINSA stands for Jewish Institute of National Security Affairs. Now, Merrill Lynch is Donald Reagan, set up a fund for Cyrus Hashemi in Switzerland in a Swiss bank, and money was sent to the Bahamas. Yorkshire Trading Company was formed by Mr. Hashemi, the gentleman murdered in London recently, who was arming Iran independently and with our Defense Department, with Israel and Saudi Arabia. Yorkshire Trading Company had an investment of $200,000 to get it started from Merrill Lynch, from our chief of staff of the White House, Donald Reagan. And they set up another front called First Gulf Bank and Trust. And my time is out now. I only have about 2 seconds. Next week, I'll continue with the categories, probably continue with that, some of the outlines or sections, so you can see where some of this news falls into place. I hope you can see. But there are a lot of good stories here, and the murder of a lot of witnesses. I'll update those. I should have done some more this week. I'll do it next week. And I'll give you some large thoughts or areas that I'm going to cover that I'm putting together now, so that if I select one or other from the different sections, you can have an overview of where it fits. This is Mae Brussel, and time has run out now, so I can't continue along those lines. Have a very good year again. Thank you for everything, your support, your books, articles, friendship, and your attention span, which is really great. I'll be back with you next week, the very last World Watchers of 1986, and until then, have some very nice holidays.